And a nice surprise here this morning. I want to welcome to the studio our own Gerry Cooley. Good morning, Gerry.
Mr. Healy, how are you?
I'm great.
It's
and you?
It's fresh and well. You're looking.
And you too. What's happening with you these days?
Well, the sun is shining. The tourists are starting to appear here. I just heard you mentioning the Temple Bar set up down in Temple
the
Bar.
The Art Gallery, yeah.
The Art Gallery.
You'd know about that.
Oh, yeah.
You being a tour operator.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd be going through it pretty regularly. But, you know, things are changing a little bit in Temple Bar. Beside Gogarty's is a big car park which is now earmarked for a new hotel which used to be the fire station. There used to be a fire or something to do with the fire station.
I don't come into town a lot these days, but I was actually in there last weekend in the Bankers.
Oh, right.
Pub.
Very good. It's in Dame Street.
Yeah, just off Dame Street. Trinity Street, I think.
Yeah, called. Very good.
But
that's a great spot now for Dublin singers, like fellas to go in and sing the Dublin songs rather than, not touristy.
Now somebody asked me, is there a Dublin footballer that owns that pub?
No, I don't think so. Well, you know, there could be a Dublin connection there, right. There could be a Dublin connection.
Anyway, the whole Temple Bar, it's changing, and the whole Dame Street, College Green now, you know, only buses and...
Yeah, that's true, but but tourists don't see that. Like the locals would see it, but we don't see it. As tour people, we go into Temple Bar because there's a buzz there. And we were talking just before we came on air here that the centre of Temple Bar, like, it's bursting at the seams. It's maxed out capacity wise. So it's moving up Georgia Street now up to the new Camden Street quarter.
Yeah.
And even if you go as far as we were over at the launch with Near FM last week with the Indignant Muse in Lilliput off Citrix Street up there in Manor Street, and that's completely changed from the old Dublin Manor Street, the Glimmerman type of thing. It's completely gone upmarket, lots of bistros, and it's just gone. It's moved up a peg. So there are areas in Dublin that are moving up now to meet the demand for the incoming tourists and this sort of the different demographic now that are now living in places like Manor Street and all of that.
I seen an article there that there was houses on George Street, I think it was, or some building on George Street, and they had it earmarked for housing.
Right.
But because of the area and because of the lack of space for building, the price per unit
is
ginormous, so they can't go ahead with
it. That was in Fishamble Street. That was in the news last night.
Yeah,
that's Fishamble Street. There's a little section down there owned by Dublin City Council, and they wanted to build seven rapid build.
That's right,
And they were coming in at 700 grand. And the guy was outside it talking about it. And what really, really irked me about it was that the location where that's all happening now, that sort of site which has a shop front, was all plastered and graffiti. And it's right across from Dublin City Council. And they look out the window and they can
see
it.
That, yeah.
Like, they think one of them would send somebody down with a can of paint and paint it over.
Yeah,
like,
I've seen all that actually, and that struck me as
it's
well.
It's brutal. So like, it's Fishamble Street beside George Frederick Handel's, where he did the Messiah. And it's there, and they're all sitting looking out the window. And there's probably about 10 maintenance men scratching their you-know-whats in Dublin
container.
City Council. Yeah. Send them out with a... Don't get me started. You're getting me started now.
What about the busmen? You're still great friends with the bus drivers.
Well, funny you should mention the Dublin bus. It's funny, isn't it? Karma comes around in the end. Last March, I qualified for as a national badge. So I'm gold standard now. You always knew that.
But I can
guide all around the country now, and I'm a member of ACTI, the Association of Tour Guides and all of that stuff. But I got my badge through the good offices of Cláis de Dulac. They were doing a course which was Bord Fáilte approved.
Yeah.
And I suitably impressed various people there, and they offered me the role during the quiet season, which is now. They offered me, there's 8 Go Dublin bus drivers being trained to get a regional badge, to get some sort of accreditations, 8 of them. And these lads are seasoned tour guide people in Dublin. They've been going around for the last 4 to 10 years. We did a count among the 8 of them, and they've done 15,000 tours of Dublin between them on a bus.
15,000.
So I'm doing a little bit of work for the Department of Education through the good auspices of Coláiste de Dúlach and getting the badge there. So
pretty
it's
good.
All good, you know.
Very good.
Good things happen to good people.
Talking about Dublin City Centre. There used to be a lot of unsavoury things going on, like begging, for instance, aggressive begging. Is it changed? Is it being cleaned up a bit?
Yes, it has. And like, I suppose that sort of thing can be over-egged a little bit. You tend to see it more in the flat season because that type of thing hides among the tourists. But when the tourists disappear, then you're left with the local setup, and that becomes more obvious.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of work going on underneath the portico of the GPO on a nightly basis. There's people in there offering help. Even dentists and barbers are out there, and they're doing people's teeth, and they're cutting their hairs.
These are people living rough,
isn't it? No, these are trainee dentists or barbers, and people can come along and people who don't have the wherewithal, they're sort of the unfortunates. As
I read about the barbers, all right.
I've seen it. Tell a guy with the teeth, doing the teeth. So there's an aggressive policy of helping people. I think that's definitely more obvious than it used to be. Like if I was to go back to the 1970s, you'd never see anything like that in Dublin.
We got ourselves into trouble doing a little show there with lots of people talking about the cities. The rickshaws, are they still running around the place?
Not so much.
There was a big clampdown on them, wasn't there?
I'll tell you what's irking the Dublin bus drivers at the moment, because I'm with them and I'm out on the tours with them. These new scooters. These people are scooting by in these scooters, which seem to have electric motors in them.
Oh, these are little small.
These little things. So people are whizzing by in them at incredible speeds with no markings, no helmets, no license, no nothing.
Yeah.
And nobody knows whether they're legal or illegal. There's going to be a calamity there. These guys are appearing out of nowhere. With the scarves flying.
See, it was scramblers around this area.
This is much quieter. They come out of nowhere. Anyway, I can see. By the way, apologies for not making to your making your 50th birthday party.
I'm told.
I promise you, I'll be there with 60. Anyway, you're looking well, and don't forget.
So are you. How are things happening out there now in Santry?
Well,
Santry Woods, and then the Swiss Cottage we were talking about.
Yeah, the Swiss Cottage is earmarked for development. There's been a pub there since 1887. And I suppose it's too big for purpose now. Like, it did expand beyond what it was capable of, the footprint. They could have made the pub smaller and done something else with the car park rather than take everything out of it.
And is it closed down now completely?
It's not closed down. No. It was closed temporarily, but now it's back open since last June. Because I know that because my father drinks there.
I passed it there the other day. I was collecting my daughter from.
Yeah, there's still the usual.
The lights on in the bar and the television was on.
Yeah, there's a couple of hardliners. Like the barflies, you just keep it going all the time. But, you know, it is earmarked for development. But the problem is that neck of the woods, it's pretty much sort of maxed out for retail. You've got Omni up there.
Yeah.
The village of Santry itself has been wiped out by Omni. The betting shop's gone. The local convenience store is gone. The hairdressers is gone. The only thing that's left there is the chip shop. So the only things left in Santry Village now is the chip shop and the pub. Before that, you had a little bit of a bunch of cluster shops, but they're all closed now. And the corner of it is earmarked. All of that, from the Swiss up to Church Lane, is earmarked for residential. So it might all happen together, and it'll be my job and people around me like it to ensure that what they put up there is not grotesque and flat and cheap, where they'll build something maybe that's in keeping with the history of the Swiss village that was built there.
Architecturally,
like
you don't want big high rise.
I don't want flat roofs.
Yeah,
no, don't want that. So if you're listening in there, Dublin City Council, Gerry Cooley does not want flat roofs in Santry. And you will pay the price if you try and enforce us. Tell him about it, John. Tell him. Okay, I'm going.
Right,
lovely
out,
to see us. Lovely
Listen,
to see it.
Thanks very much
good
for dropping
stuff,
in.
Yeah. I'll say hello to Barbara when I meet her again.
Yeah.
She's just been around Temple
Bar. She had
a
bit of problem with the reporter phone.
Yeah, she's a little bit of an ambassador for us.
She's an arts
yeah,
correspondent.
She'll be roaming around Temple Bar, meet her here and there on tours.
It's funny, like, you're reporting from an art gallery on radio, but she's great at describing, you know.
Yeah, very. Oh, yeah. Well, she's arty herself now.
Oh, she is. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Gerry, thanks very much for dropping in.
Yeah, go on out and have a nice cup of tea.
Yeah, sure. You may as well.
Good luck.
Good luck, Gerry. Thanks.